We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Watch us. Love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
We did an interview once at the other place of Roger Goodell. The name of this song, Fourier, is Jane. That's the name of Goodell's wife, so we bounced back to it.
Yeah, really?
Here it goes. You 29 days, 8 hours, 55 minutes from the NFL draft. It's 11:04. Gresham Fourier here with you. He didn't get it, by the way. He didn't pick up on it. We were kind of ribbing him.
Who?
You know, Goodell with the whole Jane song, thinking, oh, will he get it? Will he get it?
No. Maybe he did. He just wasn't willing to let you know it.
Goodell's a tall guy, much taller than you think. Good 6'4", but anyway.
Yeah, because you can see when he gives those guys those hugs, you know, they're looking eye to
eye. Oh, yeah. Which would you have hugged him?
Well, yes, I would.
No, you wouldn't have.
Yeah.
You would have been, being 39 overall, disappointment would have set in.
Well, no, I would assume if I'm a first-round draft pick.
Then you're going to be humping him when you get up there.
Oh, yeah, just give me your leg, man, and ride it out. Just wait till I'm done.
No,
on the other hand.
Nope, he would get a long, extended handshake, and that would be it. I'm not hugging that guy.
Yeah, but think about, hold on. Bring yourself back to you as a, you know, a senior in college that just got drafted first overall. No, you're
first
assuming.
First overall?
No, sorry, not first overall. You're
say,
first round pick.
I'd you're be assuming, streaking through the quad naked if I were number one overall, especially back then.
You're assuming you're a first round pick. You're whatever. You're the 25th pick in the draft. Who the hell knows? Hey, listen, you wouldn't, first of all, would you even be at the draft?
No, okay, you know me well.
Yeah, that's the point. You wouldn't be at the draft.
I would have Joe Thomas'd it.
Yeah.
Joe Thomas had the greatest one ever. It was like, yeah, I'm kind of fishing on the boat. And they're like, boy, we'd love to get you to Cleveland today. Nah, I got a carp on the line. Yeah. How about I come down a couple days? And then the guy was, you know, he's one of the best players ever and all that stuff. Well, let's get to the Red Sox. I'm reading a thing linked in from Peter Gammons on Twitter, who linked in a story of what if the Red Sox are better than expected? These three things would have to happen. I'm not going to click on it and read it because it's probably unrealistic. But I see the tweet from Old Man Gammo, and it starts with, they can spend in 2005 if, not 2025. This guy's 20 years behind, living in some kind of warp or whatever. And then all the stuff that would have to happen. Well, the one thing we know is that they're probably likely not going to have enough starting pitching. And we find out yesterday that Jordan Montgomery signs with Arizona on a one-year deal for $25 million with basically a vesting option that if the guy makes a bunch of starts, he could turn into, I think, like 2 for $50 or something like that if the guy stays healthy. Not exactly the multi-year deal that Scott Boras would have necessarily thought or wanted.
Still a lot of money.
But I think you and I view this differently. Yesterday was a, here's what I want you to do, sir. Are you a Red Sox fan? Yes. Well, hi, I'm the owner, John Henry. Here's what I'd like you to do. Like, go stand up against that wall over there, and I want you to spread your legs out at a V. And I'm going to come over there, and you're going to read that. Now, I'm going to show you this tweet, okay? And it's going to say this guy signed for 1 year, $25 million, and I'm going to kick you in the balls. That's exactly what yesterday was. Just a swift size 11 right to the yam bag of all of us who ever even gave ourselves an inkling of thought that this guy would come here. 1 for $25 million. I don't know if the people at SpotTrack are right, but the people who track this stuff, the Red Sox, in terms of being under the tax threshold, have like $30 million that they could play with. And if you bring in Montgomery, you could end up sending someone out to free up another million just to be able to give you the cushion that you're looking for or whatever. And it was this was ultimate disappointment because on just a 1 year, and then it's all sing for your supper for year two with this guy. That was just a, oh yeah, thanks, the season starts tomorrow, sort of kicking the nards.
I don't know why. See, you shouldn't be surprised. Like this, at least they're just not trying to hide it anymore. That was always my biggest issue, how they were trying to convince fans and people who watched the team that they were trying to do one thing where they really had no intentions. And until it became too hard or obvious that they were trying to cover it up. You can look at all the different phrases and the words that they were choosing and how they were addressing. And then it became obvious because they kept using the same kind of phrase of under these constraints. There is a mandate about what they should do. They, even if they can easily afford Montgomery, and they definitely need him, they could absolutely use him. It would make Corus in that rotation so make his life so much easier. They didn't want to do it, even though they have a ton of money, they have a ton of space in order to sign a guy like that. They just don't want to do it.
I think the other thing too is the guy didn't get the deal everybody thought he was going to get. You know, even when we were talking about Jordan Montgomery in the offseason, you were still talking about 3, 4, 5 year deals. Oh my God, what is Boris going to find out there for this guy? And you found out there wasn't much. And there was the whole connection with the wife and all that and her doing her internship or whatever it was.
Seemed like a perfect fit.
It did. It seemed like it could fit in a lot of different ways. Now, then again, I do believe Arizona, if it isn't a tax-free state, it's pretty close. You know, we've now become hip to the game of all that.
Nevada, Washington, Florida, Texas, Tennessee.
I don't know where Arizona lands on that, but I don't think, considering, you know, the Glenn Ordways of the world go to retire there, I'm assuming that the nest eggs are protected.
Yeah. Him and Kevin McHale.
So you go to a, you know, you go to a team where you can get, you know, 1 year, $25 million, tax implications don't kill you or
why
whatever.
Why do you think?
Hell of a reset year.
Why do you think they were against that one? Because they were in it from the beginning. They probably had an offer on the table. I'm sure it was lower than what he ended up getting, the 1 year, $25 million. In order for them to kind of, I don't know, like to have it fit into their budget. Like, what do you think it was? It just the cash constraints? Was it just the budget that they had?
No, I think it's easy.
Or is it more of a general philosophy? We don't like one time. We don't like guys just passing through. We want young talent. We want to develop our own guys.
I think it is the it's not going to make a difference. I think I think at the end of the day, it's I'm going to spend $25 million on this player for what?
Two wins.
Maybe. Right. That's what you're looking at.
Two more wins.
Maybe it might in a best case give you the scenario to be a 500 team. Maybe. We also thought that last year when this team was, what, 69-60 and then just cratered into themselves pretty much for, what, the final 6, 7, 8 weeks of the season, however that math sort of works out. No, I think they look at it and they go, no, they're not going to move. It's not going to – doesn't really do anything. So sort of what's the point?
So I'll take you, since it's not going to really make a difference, $25 million, way too much, around 11 to 12, absolutely.
Here is the best that I think we can hope for, that somehow, some way, with the Red Sox sitting on this, let's call it a cushion of money, right? Given what they would normally spend, we would think that there's some wiggle room there. If they overachieve and we get to the deadline, then that really tells us if the plan was really about the young players, people arriving, all that kind of stuff. Because again, old man Gammon's in here writing when they can spend in 2005. It's the here is the breakdown. Durant is the offensive force. He appeared to be in 23, and O'Neal is everyday level, right? Mm-hmm. You need Rafael Grissom and Abreu are established by August. Marcelo Meyer, Anthony and Teal are close by season's end. 2/3 of the young starters show 150-plus inning reliability. And then Blaise, Zanatello, Nunez, da-da-da-da-da, whatever.
So everything going right.
So, yeah, you have to have – but here's the thing. Let's just – and I'm trying to think of when the deadline would come and sort of reasonable record, okay? let's say they're 8 games over .500. Let's just go 68-60 because it's in my head, okay. Right? You're 68-60 and you're at the deadline and you do what? If your young players are either overachieving or playing well, you've told us as fans to keep an eye on the young guys, right? They're the ones that are going to tell the tale, let's say. If a lot of stuff is going right, how do they look at the deadline? Is it just, nah, we're going to let them, it's better to keep the young kids in a position to where they get the experience, Christian, than it is to go get people who might help you take advantage of an overachieving season. And that probably wasn't even as stressed up grammatically as it would be with the, you know, well, you know, and the internal breakdown that we make.
And don't you think, though, part of it will also be what the rest of the division is doing? If they, even if they're above 8-9 games above 500, what are the other teams in the division doing?
Well, I think they're going to get blown out in the division. I would expect them to get smacked in the division. The division winner probably crests 100 wins. But, you know, if you're the Red Sox, it's very much more the wild card. To me, the target is not the Orioles, Tampa, and the Yankees. The target is more the Indians, the Twins, maybe the Mariners. Like, I'm trying to think of a team who might be second in a division or something like that. The targets are more find your way into the postseason through the wild card. I have no delusion whatsoever that everything will hit to the point to where they're, like, competing for a division, because there would have to be other team regression to do so.
And if you're going into the season and not signing Montgomery, and the reason is because, you know, what would be the big difference? Why would, you know, what kind of difference does it really make? Then you find yourself at the trade deadline, and you realize, wow, we're really only talking about the wild card. And is it really worth it to do this just to get to the wild card? Like, that is the way I look at it. Any person you add, okay, if I spend this amount, if maybe I'm here earlier than I thought, maybe everybody's better than we thought, and we've completely, you know, overcome so much, and we've outkicked our coverage because everybody overperformed.
Then go for it.
Because you're hoping for, and I would say,
and
that would be the ultimate sign, because every single trade deadline, it's always the same thing with these guys. They don't believe in us. They don't believe in us. They don't do it. Well, now you're actually in a position and you haven't spent money and you have it and you still won't.
And I do wonder if, say, the Red Sox do overachieve in this sort of imagination land world that we're talking about, isn't that where maybe you could go get your sort of big time starter that you've been looking for at the deadline? You know, that's where I hope that they're not so locked into, well, you know, this is the number and this is our formula and the way we're going to do things and the way we draw it up, that there is at least a little bit of pliability in their plan to where if they do overachieve and they can strike while the market is right, they have money, they have prospects, they would have the ability to go get someone that would be high end and sort of shock everyone, but also fix their biggest problem in two ways. You could, in theory, go get a big starter, and it would calm all of us down. It would make us realize that, no, they're not just selling us a bill of goods on all the youngs, and they're really going to look at it that if the young kids play well and they're a part of the formula, then you go get that guy. And the timing might be perfect for it. And then, now, again, this is all assuming that the Red Sox are going to overachieve, and most of us think they aren't.
And everything goes perfectly right. That's why I said this is probably going to be the happiest you are during the Red Sox season. Today, before the first game tomorrow.
Oh, definitely. Sorry to jump on that, but somebody said, why is there no contract talk at all for Cora?
He's leaving.
It normally takes two to tango. And I think one,
if they wanted him, he'd be signed.
I think one is standing on the dance floor, but I think the other one is like, nah, I can't find the building. I'm circling the lot. I can't find the dance hall you're in. I don't know what to do type thing. Oh, boy. Roger Goodell gave his press conference at the owners' meetings, and lots of rules changes and tweaks are coming to the NFL. We'll get the thoughts of our two-time Super Bowl champion on that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're listening to Gresh and Poirier on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
Andy Hart joins us an hour from now. I'm sure Robert Kraft made him happy with the "I love to see us get a top flight quarterback" line yesterday, because I know that Hart was in on that just on principle. We'll get to that with our pal Andy Hart coming up, excuse me, an hour from now. Roger Goodell gave his sort of state of the state at the owners' meetings down in Orlando yesterday. One of the things they talked about, Poirier, was Tom Brady, the owner, not just Tom Brady, the football player or the broadcaster or something like that. According to Roger Goodell, they were asked about Brady's bid to be a minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. Goodell said Tuesday, "I wouldn't say it's a delay. We go through a very thorough process. We're just going through our process."
So it's not a delay because somebody's purposely slowing it down.
Right.
Right? It's just the way it always is with any billionaire.
It's like when Christian Poirier would submit something to the NFL fund that can help with surgeries. Good luck on that. Pay for it on your own, and maybe you'll get the money back in 12 years.
What do you think the dollar amount is for a bid into a NFL, like a minority bid into an NFL football team?
I mean, it all depends on what percentage I think you're talking about. And I think that was the real issue, was Tommy Boy Davis was trying to slide it by everybody that Brady was going to get a bigger piece than what he was actually going to pay for.
Over $1.2 trillion.
No, that's just to fix the bridge in Baltimore, for crying out loud. I mean, that's going to be rough. People in Rhode Island were like, "Wait, y'all going to pay for that?" Another story
now,
for another
people in Rhode
time.
Island aren't bitching anymore about their bridge.
Well, it could have came down. They would have put the right people on it. Some would have been rooting for that thing to crumble. But be that as it may, I think it's about the valuation. Because all these
valuation of
it's
Raiders.
It's all the formula. So the Patriots have a higher valuation than, say, the Jacksonville Jaguars. If you were going to buy 5% of the Jaguars, that number you would pay would be very different than it would be to get in with the Patriots. What's very interesting to me is that this wasn't extended by the Krafts to someone like Tom Brady, who could have done a good job of maybe running subterfuge or being able to explain things a little differently or point, "Hey, look over here," and then run the other way, whatever it is. It's just interesting that of all teams, it's Tommy Boy Davis who's trying to suck in Brady to be an owner out there.
Yeah, and I know that it's the valuation is gonna you know, determine if you want 5%, okay, 5% based on this valuation equals this $100 million. I'm just curious what you think, what would be the amount of check that he would stroke in order to, you know, we're talking $20 million?
No.
Spitballing here,
I think
$20
million? I would say it's $100 million probably in cash, and then you figure out all the different ways that you can leverage him. Let's not act like he doesn't have $100 million to be able to
cash,
invest.
Straight cash, homie?
Yeah, I would think.
You think he's got $100 million
I would think,
in the bank cash?
I would think that he's pretty close.
What do you think he's worth? What do you think Brady is worth?
Oh, over, I would say, $250 million. Considering,
probably, yeah.
Considering a lot of people look at him right now, and Brady has been steadfast in, "I'm going into the Fox booth." So he's got.
That's true.
He has $185 million minimum. That's coming to him over 10 years. So say you knock that down to $18 million a year. He, at bare minimum, all he's going to do is shove $18 million on his schedule low end. I would think that if Brady needed to find some financing and stuff as well, he could probably do so, I would think. And if I roll Tommy Boy Davis, that's the angle I would say to Brady. Listen, if you go get money from venture capitalists, make sure it's somebody that like has a lot of dough that we can trust. So that way, if I ever want to get out from underneath this thing, considering Las Vegas gave me a stadium, I will do so willingly and take the billions.
Isn't it the safest investment known to man when you're talking about, okay, I don't know. That's never been done before. You're going to give me $100 million. You're instantly going to make like 100% return on an investment.
Well, I think it's more of the setting Brady up for where he really wants to get to. I mean, if you look at it, there's been only two other NFL players in history who have ended up with equity or ownership stake. Do you know who they are?
Well, Jerry Richardson.
Is one, well, definitely.
They literally kicked out. I don't know who the other guy was.
George Halas. Oh, that's okay. A bit of a trick question.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
It is tricky. But if I'm the Raiders, you're begging Brady. In a city of stars, you have one that's a part of the ownership group. Like, you know, with all due respect, when old, you know, bowl cut Tommy Boy Davis goes rolling into the WNBA rally and he's dancing like RKK was 20 years ago, they're like, oh my God, this guy's not hip. At least with Brady,
but it is just
the
Raiders, though. It's not like it's not like the Kraft Group or the, you know,
Fenway Sports Group.
Sports Group, where they have he's just investing in the football team.
I think he might already be in on the WNBA.
I think he is.
It's more of the this is me personally. I think Tom Brady looks at Tommy Boy Davis and sees a sucker. I can talk guy into, hey, he let me in. Now I'm going to learn the other end of it from the owner end.
It is. Why?
All I got to do is get the right money.
How did that relationship grow? So the owner, I would say if I'm an owner of a national football team, I'm not peeling off a percentage to anybody. I don't need your money. And the Raiders don't need, I don't know if they financially are strapped.
No, that's the thing.
But like, do I really need your money?
There's a lot of talk that Davis might be up against it a little bit because of the John Gruden deal. It's a lawsuit. You got to pay it out. He's going to, obviously, the lawyers are going to be involved. You know, that's costing dough. Hey, listen, Las Vegas lured that guy there with the whole promise of a stadium because he didn't have the money to just go do it on his own. Like, when you really think about it, the Kraft spent, what, $350 million originally to build Gillette Stadium? They pumped another $250 million into it. Say they've pumped $200 million over X amount.
Plus the $50 for the new childcare.
Okay, so five. Is it 50?
50 for everything.
50 for the Chuck E. Cheese. But seriously, think about it. Even if they have been putting $20 million into the stadium every year, in terms of an investment, I don't even know if they've hit $1 billion spent on the stadium.
Probably, yeah.
Whereas old Davis couldn't come up with that. You know what I mean? It was like, please God, get me out of
Oakland. Yeah,
because
Davis doesn't have like a paper business that he uses to kind of...
To cushion the blow.
If this fails, I still got this.
He was playing games where the team was at the biggest dump of an NFL stadium ever. Not a lot of suites, all that kind of stuff. Now in Vegas, it kind of sells... Really, it sells itself because it's in Vegas. I don't even think the Raiders need to be that great. Just kind of be okay, have a star or two, and people will be happy out there. It's not like around here. They're still investigating all of the tampering. They create a legal tampering period, and now they're still investigating tampering. Like, what are we really doing here? The hip drop tackle, you and I did not get to get into this. I know you and Wigman were having a big discussion about it in the off-air show before we sat down. And I know there are defensive players that have been complaining and crying that you're taking away one of their weapons and they'd be able to bring these people down and all that kind of stuff. Can I just assume that, like, does technique still exist? You know, are coaches all just, you know, ooh, fandangled scheme and stop that pass rusher? Or do we teach fundamentals in the NFL anymore?
They still do.
Do we?
They don't have as much time, but they still do.
I wonder because I know there are defensive players that are upset. I also know that there are a ton of people that are getting hurt on this. And I still maintain without a shadow of a doubt that if there were a defensive player in a big spot who was a big-time corner going for a pick six and he got hip-dropped and his knee blown out, then the defensive players would go nuts over it, that it was a dirty tackle because it's a guy who isn't trained and all that kind of stuff. But the guys that are trained to be able to tackle people are the ones that are bitching. Help me out.
Well, it's funny because if they even just talking to Wiggs, he was like, oh, I'd rather have that than like a blindsided, you know, somebody – you know, knocking my knees out.
The way Gronk got his knee blown.
Yeah, and I was like, well, but here's the thing. So this is such an avoidable, like they just don't swivel your hips. You can drop all you want, but just don't swivel your hips and fall on top of their legs. Or the counteract to that, as a runner, say if they don't change the rule, the runner would just be told to fall, stop fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Just stop fighting.
Take what you can get.
Take
go
what
down.
You can get. Don't get hurt. That's if they didn't change anything as an offensive coach, I would say, listen, tight ends coach, whatever, you're in the open field. You realize this guy's coming to get you. This is the way he's going to tackle you. At that point in time, don't fight through it. We're going to wreck your ankle. You're going to twist your knee. You're going to be out. Just get what you can, unless it's fourth quarter. 2 seconds on the clock, got to get a touchdown.
Then you'll know.
But otherwise, keep yourself up. That really is the simplest solution to it, and I don't think they'd have as many injuries, but I'm totally fine with them getting rid of this particular aspect of this tackle.
Agreed, and that's what it is. It's the particular aspect of the tackle that you really got to hone in on, and that's what they're trying to take out. I am not for the way the game has gone all offense. It's too difficult on the defensive end now. But I think this is one of those for the safety of everybody. Let's kind of clean it up a little bit. You know, you can still bring down guys that are 240 and 250 pounds that are maybe 40 pounds bigger
than
you.
They're acting like they're going to have to start from scratch, like they haven't been tackling without this move. They've been tackling 250, 260, fast wide receivers, running backs. They have been tackling these guys for years without this move. Just don't do that move anymore.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think it's that complicated. A texter just sent in to 37937. Defensive players didn't even know they were doing it.
Lie.
I agree.
Absolutely no. Mm-hmm. It's very – I was fighting with Andy over – it's so obvious that they have been – they had figured out like a hack, right? Like a, man, I can't get this guy down. I was like, you know, because they keep moving their legs.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stop their legs. And this is what happens in these meeting rooms. Dude, this guy's too big, and he's just dragged me for 5 yards. You know why he keeps dragging you? Because he still has use of his legs. You need to find a way to take his legs out. Yeah, but I'm holding on to him. I'm already dropped. Well, swivel your hips. Use your legs to take out his legs as you're holding on to his waist.
And some of this also comes from not protecting the knees of players in the, you know, last decade when guys like Gronk are getting hit straight on at the knee with someone diving down on it. They didn't even try to take – you can hit a guy in the thigh and still knock him out. You like knock him down. You know what I mean? You could – and how about this? Maybe if you hit the guy in the thigh, maybe shoot the hands and wrap their legs.
Well, okay, so
what a novel concept.
Out of the three dangerous hits that I've seen in sport and football, it's the, I'll call it the swivel hip drop. That's one.
Hip drop.
The blindsided take your knees out.
That's two.
Okay, or the blindsided hit to the head.
That's three.
Okay, those to me are the scariest ones. Like you catch you run a flat route, right, and it's cover two, and the corner acts like he's bailing, but he doesn't. And then sure enough, he's just waiting there for you to clean your clock.
Mm-hmm.
Those are scary, scary plays. So I asked Wiggy, okay, of the three, you have to keep two. Which one are you keeping?
I'm going to say the hip drop and the hits to the head you leave in and take out, blowing out my knee.
Yeah, I'm with you. We both said, I'll take the hit to the head. And I'll take the hip drop from behind. Because I'll just stop running.
Right.
As soon as I'm just going to drop. And if a coach yells at me, I'll be like, well, I don't want to get hurt.
It's the dudes who dive at the knees. And it's not.
And those guys are jerks.
Yes.
Those are the dirtiest players in the league.
T.J. Ward was the guy.
Those are the dirtiest players in the league.
Because they're doing it to hit your knee to try to take you out and blow your knee out versus sort of, again, wrapping, shooting the hands, tackling someone at the thigh to be able to bring them down. No, it's just easier to dive right at them and try to take them out.
Every single player universally, collectively says that's the one they all hate, yet that's the one they keep in.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it. Gronk said it. Other players have said it. Talk about defenseless. I mean, Jesus. You have no idea how fast they're coming, what type of angle they're coming at, if they're high, if they're low. All you know is that you better brace for impact.
Someone said, are you guys serious? Can't go high, can't go low, now you can't wrap up. No, you can wrap up. We didn't say you can't wrap. And if you had better tackling technique, wrapping up would actually matter versus doing it the lazy way of just dragging. You know what it is? The hip drop really evolved from taking away the horse collar. It's in a lot of ways, it's just a lowered.
Which is a horrible tackle anyways.
Exactly right. A couple other things to hit on. More football on Christmas. It's on a Wednesday. So now we're going to tell.
You missed my victory lap.
So now we're going to tell NFL teams, you're going to play on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And then you're going to play like 2 days later.
It's no different than playing on a Sunday and then playing on a Thursday. Like, it's the same amount of days off. It's quick turnaround.
So teams that are on the Saturday schedule then have to play that Wednesday game?
Yeah.
Because there's no way you can play Sunday. Yeah.
There's only two of them. And I don't think that's a big deal at all. And we talked about this last year when they were playing on Christmas. Like, here, and I feel like this is the fifth year in a row, the fifth season in a row, where they have completely hijacked Christmas. That used to be the NBA's day.
Mm-hmm.
They would have their full, you know, triple header, right? And now the NFL has flat out said, you know, beat it, kid, no autographs. Just kicked him out.
Well,
it's not, if, beat it. Bowl games, beat it.
Hey, who did we mention that is in a TV rights year when we talked on Monday, the NBA?
Oh, that's right, because they're trying to do the international.
More money for us greedy NFLers along the way. And let's remind everyone who is the big king of the castle, get your thing off Christmas, and we'll put our games on there and blow you away.
And that Sao Paulo game in Brazil.
Oh, my word.
Okay, so that's on a Friday. So you're going to have. So this is the second week or the first week in September? I'm not sure.
I think it's first week.
Okay, because I don't think they can go into the second week per some agreement.
Second week, they wouldn't be allowed to play on Friday.
Right.
Is that because of the relationship with
high school and colleges?
High school and college, right. So they're like, okay, we're not going to infringe good point.
No, but let's be real. That's really TV. Hey, don't screw up our whole schedule by trying to jam a game on a Friday night. We've got everything laid out for college football and the big networks. So NFL, you can do it, but work with us.
Here's the problem with this again. So during the playoffs, you had the Miami Dolphins playing the Kansas City Chiefs. That was a streaming Peacock thing, I think it was.
I think so. Yeah, Peacock only.
And that hit 23 million people, right? I remember they gave you the first 10 minutes for free, and they kept telling you to go to the QR code so you wouldn't miss the game. And I did it, and bam, they just took it off the TV, okay? This game in Sao Paulo is being streamed also. I think it's Peacock.
I think it's Peacock only.
So it's basically the same thing. Friday, and then you're going to get, Philadelphia versus either, I think, Cleveland or Green Bay. I think those are the two teams that you could possibly have. Hey, listen, it's just their way of controlling every single major holiday. That's where I said, what is it, Labor Day or is it Memorial Day?
No, Labor Day.
Labor Day. They want Labor Day. They want if they could have Memorial Day, they'd take that too. 4th of July, they'd snatch it up. St. Patrick's Day, Cinco de Mayo, I want every single day. Columbus Day, how do we somehow create a theme for every game?
What would the NFL come up with for the Memorial Day offering?
Here's what I'll tell you.
That's what they should play the Pro Bowl then?
It would be the Memorial Day Cup. That's what they do in soccer. All these stinking soccer tournaments on Memorial Day.
Oh, so now you're stealing from communist football for real football.
That's what if they could find a way to control the entire calendar and Mother's Day, we got a Father's Day in June. If they would figure out a way to somehow own that day.
No, there's no way that they would ever do anything on Father's Day because the players will complain that there isn't anywhere for their little kids to go. That the Chuck E. Cheese isn't built yet.
No, but every stadium is going to have a Friendly's, a Chuck E. Cheese, maybe a water park.
Could we all figure out
a Great
out
Wolf
how to,
Lodge? That's what they need.
Oh,
they need a Great Wolf Lodge.
There's what it is. You just nailed it. I was gonna say, is there a way we would be able to put together like three things, like the Chuck E. Cheese, the Friendlies, and like a Gymboree or something like that or whatever?
The Great
how
Wolf Lodge.
How can we combine them
that's
all
it.
Together?
The Great Wolf Lodge. You have water park. You have games. You have character actors walking around the park.
Forget
roller coasters.
Forget your parking in the back in that special lot where you leave later. Nope, that's going to the Great Wolf Lodge. There we go.
Yeah, they got the space for it.
My goodness gracious. So anyway, and they also changed kickoffs in the NFL and. Foray and I might have to circle back on that. Coming up at noon, where the cross-section of where sports and gambling meet, have you become someone who cares about this? I really wonder, as just a sports fan who maybe doesn't bet, is it even on the radar? But the Lunchtime Parlay is next.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI. Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
All right, time for the Lunchtime Parlay, presented by FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook and the official sportsbook of WEEI. Andy Hart will yet another loss. He's always famous for
he's
doing
one and four now.
Yeah, he's always famous for doing
the... I don't think he tries.
I hit my parlay.
No, so, no. Right.
He was only a half a point off last night.
Yeah, well,
two overtimes,
still a loss. That's right, that game did end up... Giannis, I think, at 23 going into the fourth, still didn't hit the number, and it went into overtime. Double overtime, right?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Davis had, like, the game of his life.
It's really amazing. And Billy Gett, well, the Bruins really saved the parlay from being a golden sombrero. Billy was on the Bruins last night. Hurricanes did not. They were not Ric Flair, and it's 60-minute men against the Penguins. And Milwaukee and the Lakers did not work out for Scoops.
They had a nice little 19-point lead, though. They just couldn't hold it.
Well, what else is new? All right, let's get to today's parlay. We're going to try to help you make a couple of bucks. Of course, we get NCAA tournament games back over the next couple of days as well. So the betting card will be able to expand. And tomorrow, we're going to... We're going to have to try to give some Red Sox bets.
Oh, man. I'm going to dig into my notes.
Under.
Everything in the under, huh?
Oh, man. I don't know. There might be some value there. You never know. We got to dig in tonight and see if there is anything that scratches the itch.
Rayful Devers.
Rayful Devers hit a long Johnson the other day.
An MVP.
The Bruins are minus 105 tonight on the money line against Tampa Bay. I laid out really at the beginning of the show why tonight is so important for the Bruins. You know, Florida's got those games in hand. You get this one. While Florida would have two games in hand, you'd be up 4 points with a head-to-head matchup on April 6th. So I'm going to go the Bruins to go back-to-back tonight.
There you go.
It's, Tampa's minus 115. Boston's minus 105. It's about the closest thing to a pick 'em, but give me the Bees. Billy Lanny, good morning,
What's
friend.
What's up?
How's everything going?
Doing all right. Yourself?
Yeah. The blood's
He's
okay.
He's holding up. He's holding up pretty well.
Well, I'm just drinking my
Can
own.
Can we make him eat an ear of corn?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Wait, is today Wednesday? Wasn't today supposed to be pizza day, Christian?
Oh, look at this guy. Oh,
I totally forgot about that.
Another thing that Fourier forgot about.
You know what's funny? When were you out last week, Chris?
It was Friday. I had to go get
Friday,
measures.
Christian and Talkback goes to Nick, hey, where do I usually order pizza from?
Well, Billy is wrapping up Trendy.
Like, he gets it from the same place every time.
I know.
It was just a question in the timing of it. Me and Nick
hold
are like,
on.
This guy.
All right, hold on.
Write it on your hand.
Here we go.
You need a day planner.
Okay. I do have one.
You're like Shaughnessy.
Like not on your phone.
No,
like
he needs
not
I
on
do.
Your
I do.
Top.
School black
you need a nice
plaid.
One with
have
a nice
one.
Spiral
I can,
binder.
I can show it to you right now, but it's for like kids and stuff. It's like just filled with kids events. So look, there it is. I got it on my hand. So it's a day late. Now you have something to look forward to. Bam, there you go. You can't eat it anyways.
Probably not.
Okay, we'll have to cut it up in little squares.
We'll feed him like a
you.
Bird. I'll chew it for you.
He'll pick the pepperoni off of it.
Yeah, and then we'll just buy one. There we go. It's only three of us.
That is the
I'll
worst.
I'll bring the baby's food processor here.
There you go.
We can get the airplane right into the hangar.
I'll just have a nice bowl of cream of wheat while you guys have some Big Daddies.
So back-to-back games for the Golden State Warriors. Last night they beat the Heat in Miami. So I'm going to take them tonight to beat the Magic in Orlando.
All right. Chicken Nick, what do you got? Puck it up.
I'm going with the other hockey game tonight, which is basically the exact opposite of your game. Tonight's probably going to be a playoff game between the Bruins and the Lightning. My game, not so much. I'm going with the Sabres to beat the Senators. The Sabres, very outside shot making the wild card, but they do need the points, so give me the Sabres tonight.
All right, and finally, your hot ticket, Christian Pomeroy.
Okay, Minnesota versus Detroit. I'm going to take Minnesota. Now, is this the new line that you found? Right, it's minus 15.5.
Christian did try to lock this in at Minnesota minus 11.5, and it has moved 4 points since Fourier put this in at 7 a.m. You can get Minnesota minus 11.5, but the juice goes all the way up to minus 195.
Okay, and even at 15.5, I think you're fine. Remember, this is Detroit, man. It works in a lot of different ways. And the last four road games, okay, the last four road game losses for Detroit, 25, 25, 8, and 22. So three out of the last four, okay, were over 20-point losses. So even at 15.5 points, being the fact that you're Detroit and you're probably like, when is the season over? I'd take them.
So we have Minnesota in the NBA minus 15.5 against the lowly Pistons. The Sabres on the money line, the Bruins on the money line, and the Warriors on the money line. Oh, boy, your $10 is a nice, juicy $166.61. We'll make sure to get the parlay picks up on Twitter. Follow us, Gresh Fauria, W-E-E-I. Instagram, Gresh and Fauria. Spell the A-N-D in between our last names to be able to get us on the gram. So we've got Shohei Ohtani, who maybe or maybe isn't a degenerate gambler. We have an NBA player who is kind of working the prop bets a little bit the way Kayshawn Booty did in college, allegedly. Does any of this resonate with people? Man, I'm really serious. Like, is this now just not a big deal? Because we're used to gambling. For you, and I'll get into that. Start hour three next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.